Wilde was clearly attracted to the genre of fairy tale and myth. And in large part, that attraction is rooted in his resistance to the dominant realism of his age. This is a force of his argument in his major critical essay dialogues, The Decay of Lying and The Critic as Artist. That is, Wilde resists seeing fiction as an imitation of life, as a reflection of nature and everyday reality. Wilde insists that life imitates art far more than art imitates life. His claim is that art and literature make life rather than simply reflect it. His choice of fairy tale and forms of romance is a choice of forms that are much less dependent on fact, and therefore, in his view, more freely imaginative and creative. In the 19th century, the authored moralized versions of traditional folk tales had evolved into a separate literature for children. One sees the teaching aspect as a notable feature of Hans Christian Andersen's sentimental fairy tales. They were immensely popular from the 1840s onwards. Their recurrent patterns are of social assimilation and acceptance for the downtrodden, or else, in many of his stories, a heavenly reward for suffering and perseverance. Wilde's fairy tales clearly belong within this tradition. That's the audience, one might say, for whom they seem to be written. And that was recognized very much by his original reviewers, many of whom made comparisons between Wilde and Hans Christian Andersen. But in truth, Wilde was part of a new wave of writers, a new wave of writers of fairy tale. Another, for example, was the American L. Frank Baum, author of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz in 1900. This new wave challenged the conservatism of Andersen and the approved conventions of fairy tale narration. For example, we can see this in the title story of Wilde's first collection, The Happy Prince. On one level, the tale can be read as a touching allegory of altruism and sacrifice. The Happy Prince sacrifices his beauty, and the swallow gives his life to alleviate the sufferings of the poor, and in the end, both are rewarded with paradise. Wilde's ending is, in fact, based very closely on Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale, The Angel. In Andersen's tale, the angel carries the body of a good child who has died, and the remains of a withered field flower to God. God presses both to his breast, and the child receives angel's wings and the flower a voice to sing God's praises. The Happy Prince concludes in a very similar way. Let me read it. "Bring me the two most precious things in the city," said God to one of his angels. And the angel brought him the leaden heart and the dead bird. "You've rightly chosen," said God, "for in my garden of paradise this little bird shall sing forevermore. And in my city of gold, the happy prince shall praise me." So very similar, one would say, sentiment, mood, to conclude the tale. But Wilde's ending is preceded by a series of sardonic touches that problematize, certainly for some readers, the elevating sentiment. The spectacle of the happy prince being melted down to be recast as one of the town councillors, for example, and the town councillors' unseemly quarrel as to who it should be. The effect in Wilde is rather different for some readers. Not only is the fabric of society unaltered, but the reader is also reminded that the sacrifice of the prince has left the world an uglier place rather than a better place. So, many have interpreted Wilde's aim as not being to affirm the moral values of altruism and philanthropy, but to question them. This might seem a bit far-fetched, but it fits very much with Wilde's criticism of philanthropy in his non-fictional writings. There he argues that philanthropy prolongs the problem of social injustice, inequality, and so on, rather than solve it. Now, this isn't to suggest that the ideas in Wilde's critical writings directly inspired his tale. Perhaps it's just that uncomfortable truths, or perhaps contrary perspectives, we might say, are the discovery of thinking in stories.